2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Make yourself feel a little bit better by basking in the misfortune of others. Unrivaled presents Sucks to Be You on the Zone Sports Network.
That's right. It's our Sucks to Be You portion of the program. And again, Scott, it's one of those things. Sometimes you can make yourself feel a little bit better when you bask in the misfortune of others. That's one way to feel better about yourself, looking at the way things are going.
Well, that's why we
people.
Have the news.
That's exactly right.
The news is there to make us feel better about our life.
Look, so we're going to roll out some of the people who it sucks to be from this weekend so that you can feel better about your sports stuff. Although here locally, we just don't have that much to complain about when it comes to teams here in the state. We've gotten to the point now where it's just bickering about the rankings of BYU and Utah, and Utah playing the Pac-12 championship game. Hey, nice. We'll see you later, BYU. I got the Pac-12 championship game to go to this weekend. Sorry, I don't have time for you. Right? There's a lot of that this weekend. But the reality is all these
Utah
teams
fans
winning.
Don't talk like that, though.
Oh, okay.
They don't talk like
hey,
that.
Hey, it's me, BYU.
I'll see
fan.
You in Vegas. You don't think Ute fan has a generic voice? They absolutely do.
No, they don't.
And they talk with lobster hands. Hey, I'm going to see you down in Las Vegas. They got a southern accent maybe too. Why not? Anything I can do to dumb them down just a little
southern.
Bit more.
Southern Salt Lake County.
I am all sorts of excited for the Utes.
All right,
I'm excited for you because, listen.
Well, what's the BYU voice then?
Oh, hey. It's a little bit Mickey Mouse-ish.
It's like a Mickey Mouse voice.
Look,
it's a little bit how Greg
Rebell. We got new flavors of our ice cream for our head coaches for basketball and football.
It's Greg Rebell voice.
No, come on. You can't do Greg like that.
Well, it's that higher pitch.
A bit higher pitch. Yeah. And listen, in terms of characters that apply to BYU fans,
mm-hmm.
I think everybody who's been to Disneyland can agree that the most seen gear across Disneyland is BYU gear.
Yes.
On any given day. Okay.
Yeah. There's a Utah pipeline.
Hey, look,
to Disneyland.
We kind of own that park, brother. Yeah. All right. I'm personally putting Donald Duck through college. Does he go to college? You got to wear pants to go to BYU. That's part of the honor code.
Highly suggested.
Yeah, you got
to wear pants.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Scott, sucks to be people who it sucks to be this weekend. Well, I'll roll it out. And I don't necessarily feel like, okay. Well, anyway, here's what sucks to be this weekend. USC president Carol, what was her last name? Folk? Anyway, what was her dang name? USC president Carol Folt. See, I was close. Carol Folt tweeted out today, thank you so much to the coaching staff this season. You guys did great. All things considered, you guys played your hearts out and just – You should be really, really proud of what you did this season. Now, that tweet, of course, was deleted later when somebody got to the office of the president and said, they still have a dadgum football game to play this weekend, and you basically just sent them off into the pasture. Now, It's really tough because
they sent Utah or I mean USC to the pasture when they fired Clay.
When
Helton.
They fired Clay Helton,
yeah,
I felt bad. Listen, it really sucked to be that interim coach for USC this week.
Oh,
they just kept
brutal.
Showing him on the sidelines, and he's trying to argue calls, but he's kind of half into it. He's like, I don't know.
Well, the thing about it is you feel sad for USC, but you really don't.
Yeah,
underneath it all, you're just like,
no, it's one of those where you go,
so
you need
glad.
This every
yes.
once in a while. Yeah. You need to be humbled.
Yeah, because here's what sucks to be you. If you're a Utah fan.
Why?
Because even
great.
Though this season's been amazing, it's going to be probably the last opportunity that Utah has to go and play in the Rose Bowl. I mean, with the hiring of Lincoln Riley at USC, it's going to be really, really hard
but see,
for
can
anyone
you see,
to win the Pac-12.
Period. I see that. I see that.
Anyone.
I just think that this year is obviously one Utah's striking while the iron's hot. Great. It's a good time to do it. I think they could do it.
It's the only time to do it.
No, but the next year they could do it. Lincoln Riley's not going to have his stuff together already year one.
Utah will probably be better next year.
That's what I'm saying. Talent-wise, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
So you have.
So I'm not talking about.
You have not a rebuilding. I don't consider necessarily a rebuilding. I mean, they would call this a quote-unquote rebuilding year at USC, although nothing's being built. So now with Lincoln Riley coming in.
They call this a demolition year.
Yes.
There's no building.
Absolutely.
It's like, we're gutting this place. We're ripping out the foundation.
Carol Folt already tweeted out, can't remember the names of those guys, but they were great. And they're like, we still work here. Oh,
and
really?
You know that's a fake tweet because they did not do a good job. It was terrible.
Kay.
It was a dumpster fire.
Here's what sucks to be. It sucks to be BYU fan right now. I'll tell you, 10-2 is amazing. But what's going to happen is over the next couple weeks, because I feel for you. Right now on Twitter, all the Utah fans are trolling the heck out of BYU fans. I don't know how, and I don't know why you're falling for being trolled. Don't fall for being trolled on a 10-2 season when you're going to be ranked likely that number maybe 11, 12 after everything's said and done by the end of all the conference championship games are played out. They could really be an 11 or 12 type team. Here's the problem. I think you're going to get leapfrogged by Utah if Utah wins that Pac-12 championship. And I know they have the head-to-head, but the thing is they're going to have that extra game, a conference championship in their back pocket, all sorts of momentum that you're not going to get as a BYU, that USC game helped them be semi-relevant because it was on a national broadcast, and it was USC, but it was a bad USC team. And prior to that, it was Georgia Southern. Prior to that, it was Idaho State. Prior to that, it was a bye week in between there, I guess, too. So it was really three, four weeks where BYU wasn't really being thought about or talked about. That's why you're not seeing any movement on anything, not just because they had a semi-lackluster win over USC, although that's not really a thing. A win's a win. So when I see all the – but I'm just telling you, BYU fan, just be prepared for when Utah ends up leapfrogging you. Because you're not able to play that extra game.
See, I think
this is another reason you should be grateful for your independence going away over the next couple.
I think BYU and Utah could end up in the top ten by the time the whole season's over with, like when it's completely ended, after the bowl games. And I'm not saying it's going to happen or it's
Sir, please, can we be in the Rose Bowl with you, sir?
But it's very possible for those teams to actually if BYU didn't get into a New Year's Day game, all the teams ahead of them are going to play each other, right?
Yeah.
So half of them are going to lose. So they're going to move up into the top 10.
Ooh.
And if Utah wins against Oregon, who's ranked ahead of them now, what they're like 11 or something, then and again, I told you last week, Utah beats Oregon, who's ahead of BYU.
No, I know.
That could be the kicker.
It could be the
That
thing.
Could be the game that actually puts BYU
again,
into a much better bowl game.
And that would
so
be nice.
Imagine both these programs in the state of Utah, and like everyone wins.
Look, they haven't
everybody
anything.
Wins.
Yes, and they haven't signed anything. They haven't accepted the invitation to the Independence Bowl yet. I think that's probably looming. But now we're looking at it because before it was New Year's Six Bowl or the Independence Bowl. And now it feels like there's kind of some shades of better bowl games in there for BYU that might be a possibility. So I hope that's the case. I hope they play
you know what there is? There's
like
a
Big 12 or a Big 10
order.
Team. Who is it?
Well, to bowl games. So there's like – it's like this game is going to trigger this game and then this one trigger – you know, so it's
right,
like –
sure.
So it's kind of – it's like, yeah, BYU, they're really smart right now to just, you know, kind of hold tight and not commit to anything because By the end of this week, everything will have shaken out, and everything will be very clear.
Sucks to be you, Sporting KC. This is my favorite part of sports. When you watch a team, first of all, I mean, beyond being the visitor team, KC, Sporting KC has like a really excitable fan base, right? Part owner Patrick Mahomes is on site to watch Real Salt Lake advance to the Western Conference Finals against Kansas City 2 weeks in a row now, going on the road, getting a win, an unlikely win. And this is the part where you go, it sucks to be you, Sporting KC. You know why? Because I loved watching all the videos of the dead silent crowd when Bobby Wood hit that second goal in stoppage time. And when they run over to the side and they have that moment where a bunch of fans are just arms folded, some of them are giving double birds to Real Salt Lake. And I just thought, you guys worked your tails off all season to lose to this team. Now, what I'm saying is,
well,
is
this
that
team who doesn't have a coach, doesn't have an owner,
Real Salt Lake
have
has all the thing, all the reasons why you wouldn't think that they would be anywhere near touching this. They had to back into the playoffs in the first place, and then they're just living on borrowed
time. Here's
why
it sucks to be Sporting KC. It's this stoppage time, right? Because it's somewhat arbitrary.
But they've gotten better. They've gotten better about like being pretty close to it. That's my favorite. I thought we were over it.
But my point about
it. But even then, it's just a guy adding it. Yeah.
But the point about all of it is, like, wait a minute.
Is this game over or not?
Why not just stop it? When it's like, well, we just don't stop the clock.
It's stoppage time.
And it's like, stop it now so when it's actually over, you know that it's actually over. Because I would hate to be a team that said, oh, we got through the game, and now, well, how much time's left? And like, it was almost at the end of the stoppage time that the RSL actually scored the goal. And it's like, that's what I hate. Those are the things about soccer that I just don't like. And it's like, it just, and I know everyone's like, oh, it's just part of it, and it's actually accurate time and whatever, and it's like, okay.
You know what I love about this? It sucks
but
to be,
it's, this sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
To lose in
you know what?
In the stoppage.
It
time.
Actually sucks to be. You know what? I'm going to say this, Scott. It actually does suck to be Lincoln Riley today, because part of the apparently one of the stipulations of the contract. These are all unconfirmed, but right. $110 million what they're looking at.
But kind of
10
fun.
Years. Really fun, because the best part was apparently he had two homes in Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, you have a summer home.
Got to have one down the street from the other one.
Yeah.
The summer.
Well, you wonder if there's like a big lake around there somewhere, and there's like a lake house somewhere.
Yeah, sure. Why not? So two homes in Norman that apparently USC paid $500,000 each over asking price on those. So essentially $1 million bonus. Like I said, the $110 million for the salary over however long the contract's going to be. But here are my favorite parts. 24/7 access to a private jet for he and his family.
Well, of course.
Well, of course. And then apparently USC's buying the $6 million home for him in Los Angeles. The best part about all this
that's not a good deal.
No,
I mean,
everybody's been showing the $6 million houses in LA.
It's like a four.
Everybody's
in Long Beach. It's a four-door Rambler in Long Beach.
I know that people are putting up online all the $6 million houses that are up there, and it's like, cool. You're gonna get to live in Fontana. Like, find yourself over in this part of I got $6 million. I don't know if you've watched Selling Sunset like I have on Netflix, but
Inland,
my heavens.
Inland Empire is Fontana. That's like, yeah, you get a deal in the Inland Empire.
Like, they rolled that out like, and we're gonna give you, they look around, $6 million to buy a home within LA. And he's like, are you kidding, dude? I can't live in 2,700 square feet.
That is the only drawback to being there.
Oh my gosh! Well, all the traffic
too. It's because if you're going to live in a nice home in a nice area, you're not going to live next to USC.
You got to and listen.
Okay, you're not, and so you got to fight all the traffic just to get to USC when you're there, and you got to fight the smog.
Katie's already looking up all the cash. She's already looking up $6 million homes in LA now. Yeah. She's like, I can help him out.
Yeah.
I'm telling
you. Well, maybe that's the deal, is he gets a homie agent,
yeah,
save some cash, and then that makes up the difference
for
the home.
Well, here's the best part about all this, that all of the things that they rolled out there, I think the jet, the 24/7 access to a private jet is actually the most attractive to me. I mean, the $110 million, yeah. But the one that sounds like Richie Rich, like it's straight out of a movie, is the 24/7 access to a private plane.
See,
I worked that thing into every dang deal.
Do you know what that's about? That's all about recruiting. It's 100% about it's about your family being able to go back and see their family.
Right.
Whenever they want to. Sure. Because they're in LA.
They're gonna be in LA.
And
yeah.
It's like wherever family is, and I don't know where his family is.
But flying to recruit is gonna happen anyway. You're gonna get that access to whatever team plane, however many donors
maybe not.
Handful of people up at Utah that allow access to private planes for Kyle Whittingham and the team to be able to use. But guess what? Times that by 100. Down in Los Angeles.
Well,
there's a million of these guys who want to just.
But having the access to it, whenever you want.
Scott, there's no recruiting in Tahiti that needs to happen. I mean, what kind of a limit are they putting on
you
this?
You think?
What kind of limit are they putting
on
this?
I mean, maybe there's expanded markets. You got, you know, the Polynesian
market.
I mean, Tahiti's kind of. Well, it's not Polynesian. Well, it kind of is. It's in the islands.
Yeah. We have to go back and check out that Aussie punter.
The Aussie punter. Right.
You know, the Swiss long snappers are big time, too. These are guys that are getting way into it. That's the pipeline you need to have.
Well, there's a lot of pressure when you're a coach and you need that downtime.
Yeah.
You need to get away.
Brazilian kickers, they're also getting huge, man. Got to go down to Sao Paulo. Check out what they got going on down there.
Yeah, but who would want to go there?
I mean,
if you can find a good place to go.
Find the flankers out of
Hawaii. There's good football.
Out of the
Hawaii.
Virgin Islands. The Virgin Island flankers, they're really good. They're getting really a lot better. That's a pipeline.
Maybe it's converting these rugby players in New Zealand.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Scott, it sucks to be Brian Harsin this weekend. I was shocked that Alabama beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl the way that they did. Alabama looked like garbage. And I know Nick Saban after the game was trying to sell to everybody. He's just so proud. I'm just so proud of this team for coming back, winning this football game. It's so hard. It's like, dude, get your Aflac jacket out of here. You guys are not the number three team in the country right now. The way they've played against Arkansas and now Auburn this last 2 weeks, it's been terrible. I can't believe that look, it's just because Auburn handed this thing back to you. Brian Harsin not going for two when he could have beaten Alabama is a real problem, man. So I feel it sucks to be you, Auburn fans, because your coach blew it for you this weekend. I'm trying to think of all these teams that they go out there.
Do you know who it really sucks to be?
Who does it suck to be?
It really does. It's such a sad thing, and it just always has a tender spot in my heart. The Detroit Lions.
Oh my goodness.
They're at home in Thanksgiving, and they still can't win.
Yeah, they lost.
They still can't win.
I love how you like admit it has a little soft place in your heart.
Well, it does.
You got a
of
giant
course
smile
does.
On your face right now.
Yeah.
Oh, 10-1.
Yeah.
Is it better to be 0-17 or 0-16-1? Because that sounds more embarrassing than 1 at the end.
Yeah.
Sounds stupid.
Yeah, because it's like a game where you could have won and you still couldn't find a way
to win.
There
are so many of those games.
The best you could possibly get was like a tie. Yeah.
Is there such thing of, I mean, a team that like, because you always talk about how, I mean, the Jets even won their third game this weekend. And they're a bad football team.
Yeah. Not as bad as the Lions.
But that's what I'm saying is that at some point, the Lions have been close. They've been single digits in a lot of these games. They've been bouncing that field goal, that Justin Tucker field goal through the uprights off of the middle crossbar that they end up losing on a 66-yard field goal, you know? I mean, that's
but
heartbreak
having,
stuff.
Having that,
but these teams
well,
find a way to lose.
They were in close games.
They find a way to lose.
That's the loser's mindset right there. Well,
that's what happened to Auburn
this weekend. Close. We're almost there. Yeah, because I'm telling you, it's all in your brain. It's all in how you view things, and you get in this cycle, and you just go, "We're never going to win. We're never going to win. Something bad is always going to happen." And it's not just the Lions; it's like their whole fan base is just wrapped up in just losing.
You know who it sucks to be? It sucks to be that OU administration. Who apparently, you know how this thing shook out? According to Lincoln Riley in his press conference, people were asking, how quickly did this thing solidify? And he said, I hadn't heard anything. He's like, I wasn't even contacted about this job until late Saturday night, meaning into Sunday morning, like 1 a.m. gets a phone call on Saturday night, and then he's on a Zoom phone call the next morning. Do you believe that?
I don't believe that for two
I
seconds.
Never heard from anybody. I got a Christmas card from Carol Folt. That's as good as it got last
maybe
year.
Maybe heard. All I know is I talk to my agent like every day.
So you've got a CYA.
Like everything.
You've got a CYA you don't hire. I didn't talk to anybody. This is a shock. I didn't want to leave Oklahoma. Like, that's what you do. You do the whole, I didn't want to. They came to me. And
it's the good cop, bad cop.
Right.
Sure. But
somebody rolls in and goes.
You don't hire someone. You're not a coach. This isn't your life, your livelihood. And you're not paying attention to it.
How much?
I'm just out here coaching. I'm not even. It's like these coaches. Because they know that coaching is about moving.
The Oklahoma administration today says, yes, we were surprised by yesterday's events. But we are unlimitedly excited for tomorrow. That is the biggest lie I've ever heard. We are so excited about our future here at Oklahoma. We're just tickled pink with what we're going to be able to do in the future.
What hurts Oklahoma is
all those decommits.
They got hosed because Oklahoma was not in the mindset of going. We have to get a football coach.
Right.
They probably thought we have our coach. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And he's one of the best.
And so all these firings happen early, right? Because of what just happened. All these coaches got gobbled up quickly. Florida got a new coach. I mean, everyone got a new coach like today.
So now
Oklahoma's sitting there like all the music stopped and there's no chair for us to sit in and they are hosed. They're hosed.
Well, and they're really
unless they
too,
can go out
so
and,
many of these so many of these commits that they were going to go to Oklahoma. They were going there because of Lincoln Riley. They've decommitted.
Maybe they raid someone else now. Maybe they do what it was done to them.
The good news was
an eye for an eye.
There you go.
That's the way coaching is today.
You know what? I look at it too and I go, ooh, you know what I love? The schedule makers for going forward are looking at this going, we got to figure out a way to get Oklahoma and USC to play each other.
Have they ever played each other?
Probably in some postseason stuff, but you know how it is. You make it. You just go, hey, we got to make this game in 3 years. It's got to happen. At least in the next two.
No, no one cares about that stuff.
I do. I know. I want to watch Oklahoma versus.
It's just awkward,
Lincoln Riley's
weird
old team.
It's like Bronco Scott, we tune going in. To BYU. It's like,
yeah, we tune in for that awkward. We want to see if people are going to boo him.
And they don't.
They'll boo Lincoln Riley.
They
put up Trader posters this morning.
If Lincoln Riley had a jersey, they would be burning his jersey today. Right.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.